Welcome back to Celebrity Jeopardy. We've got quite a contest going on here. Let's take a look at the scores. Sean Connery is in the second place with negative $6,500.
Only on accountability.
Great. Mini Driver is in first place with a commanding score of zero.
What is history?
We haven't started playing yet. And finally, Jeff Goldblum with an incredible negative $17,800.
Yes, I suppose I do.
Better luck to all of you in the next round. It's time for Double Jeopardy. Let's take a look at the board. And the categories are potent potables, literature, which is just a big word for books, therapists, current U.S. presidents, show and tell, household objects, and finally, one-letter words. Anyway, Jeff Goldblum, you were in third place, so the board is yours.
Well, this is Jeopardy. Seeing as there are two, three, four, five, six, seven. Seven different categories.
Mr. Connery, why don't you pick?
It looks like this is my lucky day. I'll take the rapist for 200.
That's therapist, not the rapist. Let's skip therapist and try household objects for 400. And the answer is, you usually drink water out of one of these. Sean Connery.
A leather glove.
No. Mini Driver.
A toilet.
That is awful. Jeff Goldblum.
And
you're an idiot. The answer was a glass.
Then the day is mine.
Technically, it's still Mr. Goldblum's board, but since he's a human wasteland, I'll let Mr. Connery pick again.
Oh, I'll play your game, you rogue. Let's try the rapist for $20.
How about show and tell for $600? I'll just show you an object, and you tell me what it is, okay?
It's a man with a mustache.
No, Mr. Connery, I'm not the object. I haven't shown it to you. Here it is.
He holds up a hammer.
Name this object. Mini Driver.
It's a popsicle.
No. Jeff Goldblum, name this object.
Yes, thank you. What do you call it when you punish criminals in the days of yore, it was and then you'd put them in the square in those
You mean the stocks were a pillory?
Yes, exactly.
It's a freaking hammer.
Well, of course it is.
Now listen to me, you back off, Trebek. You wouldn't have known that if you didn't have that card in front of you. This guy reads from a card.
Whatever, let's move on to current U.S. presidents for 400. And the answer is, he is the current U.S. president. He has white hair, and you've probably seen him in the news. His first name is Bill. Mm-hmm. Mr. Goldblum, I know for a fact you had dinner with him recently. His last name is Clinton. His name is Bill Clinton. Please, someone simply say, who is Bill Clinton? Someone just say it. Anyone. And the show has reached a new low.
And I'm the cock of the walk.
All right, let's just move on to Final Jeopardy. And the category is letters of the alphabet. All you have to do is write down a letter. Any letter, for instance, A or G.
I'm going to save money on budget and just go.
There's no reason why any of you should be writing this much. Please write down a letter of the alphabet.
Yes.
Mr. Goldblum is evidently doing Tai Chi over there. Okay, for the sake of tradition, let's take a look at the answers. Sean Connery, you wrote.
That's a picture of a large hand giving the finger.
Okay, that is definitely not a letter.
Ha ha!
Beautiful, just beautiful. Mini Driver, let's see what you wrote.
Oh, it's a drawing of an eye.
You drew a picture of an eye.
Well, I is a letter, isn't it?
Are you English or retarded? Let's go to Jeff Goldblum, who appears to still be doing Tai Chi. Let's see what your answer was.
Screen reveals a huge number two.
The number two.
The letter two, my friend.
No, two is a number.
I can't read or write.
Good for you. Well, as always, three perfectly good charities that have been deprived of money here on Celebrity Jeopardy. I'm Alex Trebek, and the three of you should be ashamed of yourselves. Good night.
And for the record, I am ashamed of myself for doing what can only be considered the worst Sean Connery accident in the history of Sean Connery's.
And the day is mine.
I'm the cock of the walk.
Excuse you. I was over here playing Trebek, not even trying to do his accent.
You really? Well, I mean, the only reason I wanted to be Alex Trebek for that was simply for the part where he goes, "You mean in the stocks or a pillory?" Because that's my favorite part from that skit.
It's a freaking hammer. Oh, literature, which is just a big word for books.
Better luck to all of you in the next round. It's time for Double Jeopardy. I don't know. I'm a Will Ferrell fan at one point.
Yes.
If we ever do another Celebrity Jeopardy, you can do it.
I'll be Alex Trebek. I'll be three of the four characters. We'll write an all new Celebrity Jeopardy with Principal Fry, and I'll be like, "All right, Principal Fry."
No.
And then
I'll touch the teachers and students.
God.
What if you? We're both gonna do it.
Someone has given a phone to a monkey, and the monkey has already created a Snapchat account.
Those pictures he's sending out are not. I don't remember what he says. Hey, what's up? Welcome to. You know what time it is? It's Saturday.
Shut up. Shut the hell up.
We're doing this podcast for you.
You should be ashamed of you.
Don't stare at me like that, Maria. It's Saturday, and this is the legendary Podzilla 1985 Pod Chat Cast App. What?
It's not Saturday.
Hey,
actually, if we keep this up any longer, it will be Saturday.
We're creeping on it.
What the hell are we talking about tonight?
No clue, man.
Tanner, let me just point something out. You ask me often on Tuesday what we're doing for the cold open, and then when the show starts, you go, "But what are we talking about?"
Hey, what's great?
Come on, all right, man.
So really quick. My name
is part of the bit now. I mean, what?
My name is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight. With me, of course, I was the worst Sean Connery. I was Shannon Connery. With me tonight, we've got Double H as Jeff Goldblum.
Yes, well, hey.
The man himself as Tanner Calvert. Wait, what? The man himself, Tanner Calvert, as Alex Trebek is what I meant to say.
I mean, to be fair, it was just me because I, you know, fuck an accent. I can't do it.
And once again, helping us out as mini driver was Maria Kramer.
Howdy.
And that's her part. You no longer have to acknowledge her. She's here, but she's not doing anything. So, tonight on the show, we have so many things to talk about.
No, we don't. We have nothing to talk about.
I actually did have something that I wanted to mention at the start of the show. And
I mean, to be fair, I have not done my due diligence and gone back and listened to last night's show, so I still don't know what you guys talked about then entirely.
Hey, Lindsay's on. Lindsay, just go ahead and plug your microphone in and start recording. Jump in on this. Why not?
Can she hear that?
I think she can
hear. Her mic is muted, but... Oh, there she is.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's
She just said KKK. Oh, Lindsay.
No!
No!
No, just two Ks.
Yeah, it was just two of them. Right. Like KK Slider, who will be on your island tomorrow night if you have completed all the objectives.
I think it will be on, it will be on Maria's island. Yes.
Yes, well, I can't believe I didn't think to do this at some point. Yes, well, me.
You can't go off script. You can't do that. Yes, well. What the hell was the story? I had it. We'll do it live. Fuck it.
Fucking thing sucks.
Joining us for the show, Lindsay Wolfgang.
Eventually.
Hi, I'm here now.
There she is.
Hey.
Hey, hey.
Oh.
Hey, hey.
Hi.
Hey, hey.
Are you recording?
Yes, I am. I started basically right after Tanner said eventually, so whatever time that was at.
That's all right. That's why I introduced you, so that way I can just
sync it in from there. Yeah. I mean, I was just going to listen, but yeah, that's fine. I'll hop on.
Well, it's kind of like this is already reminding me of that show we did where I think it started as me, Dalton, and Hunter. And then it was like, we invited Cody on, and I think we invited Tanner on. And it got to a point where there were like five or six people because we just kept inviting people on. We're like, hey, just jump in. Why not? And it turned out to be like the worst show we've ever done.
And it still was the number one show for like a couple of weeks.
It was still the most rated one. Yeah. So
that's what happened. The most rated. It got the most rated.
It has all the ratings. Lindsay, I'm surprised you're home considering what they're doing at your place.
What?
Well, aren't they spraying for potato bugs?
No, they're not. They're doing that at your place.
Why did she put the accent?
She hit you back with the accent.
Just all right.
Leave this place and never return.
So I just so everybody knows, me. I'm reading off of the top downloaded Podbean episodes, and as you all know, our downloads for Podbean are not an accurate representation of listenership on our show because very few people listen to our show through Podbean. Most people listen to us through Spotify, through iTunes, through a tin can that you have pressed to the wall of a neighbor who's listening to us. We appreciate that.
I think you cut my string.
I did. That's why you had to come back to the show. Reattached. That's why you had to come back to the show.
That's right. That's what it took.
But just basing this off of Podbean's downloads, here are the top 10 episodes for the month, and that is going to be, and that's the past 30 days, not this month, but the past 30 days. Number one is It's Podzilla After Dark, stupid president. That's the one where I railed on Trump because that was a classic Shannon rant. I can see why people like that. Number two is the legendary PZ85 group chat podcast for happiness. Episode 12, supplies.
Supplies.
I don't take my cues from a hat check girl.
We got to do another one of those.
Yes. Well, you two continue to beat each other up. I need to go get a drink. I'll be right back.
All right, you come back though. Yes. Pro Wrestling Unscripted from July 1st, followed by I Want to Believe that we just did on Tuesday. So that's cool. That one's up there already.
That's awesome.
PZ85 Plays a Bloody Night on Highway B, Episode 1.
Yes.
The 7-8 Pro Wrestling Unscripted, followed by PZ85 Plays a Bloody Night on Highway B, Episode 2.
Getting up there.
Last night's Podzilla After Dark, Racist Contractors, and Top 5 Non-Disney Animated Films. Great title. followed by Nerd Up, and then the I Want to Believe special with Scott Walter that Tanner did. Still in the top 10, Tanner.
Yeah.
Woohoo!
So, good on you. Good on you.
Shannon, there's going to be some time where there's going to be a Friday show and it's just going to be me and you. You know what's going to happen sooner or later. Everyone else is going to bail. And that's the night we do a Stefan sketch.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. This club has everything. My uncle.
What is Dan Cortez.
That's so damn, he's already breaking.
MTV's Dan Cortez.
Dan Cortez. So just to give
you know about
just
Blackula,
an idea.
The Black Dracula. Well, they have a Jewish Dracula too. You know what his name is?
No.
Sydney Applebaum.
Oh no.
Just so you know, we got the top 10 episodes from the past. I believe this is past 2 years. If you guys are wondering about the past 2 years, this is pretty interesting.
Yes, do tell. I'm curious.
Number one is the March 1st episode of Podzilla After Dark called Pokemon and Porn. Pornemon.
Oh, no.
I don't remember that one.
I think it's when we were going to talk about Pokemon, but somehow beforehand we were talking about something porn-related.
It's usually pornographic.
Or,
you mean like every show?
Or it's the one where Shannon was going on about wanting a Ditto so that he could have it transform into whoever he wanted.
To do what, Lindsay? Say it out loud.
He wanted to fuck the Ditto.
I was going
to
fuck the Ditto. And I would turn it into various forms. One day I might turn it into a giant hot dog.
Why would you do that?
Then Detective Pikachu came out and the Ditto transformed into an attractive security guard.
Yeah, well, look, you don't know. I'm not going to tell any Detective Pikachu stories. We're going to save that for the future.
Do the story, Herb.
you definitely do not want to hear this story. So let's move on. Pokemon After Dark. Oh, sorry, Podzilla After Dark.
you're just keeping
on. It sounds like you're going to tell the story anyway.
Oh my god, I think Pokemon After Dark would be a great would be a great show. All right, tonight on Pokemon After Dark, we're talking about the top five Pokemon who probably have the biggest dicks. Number five, Charizard. Anyway,
Bold of you to assume Machoke is not. Never mind. No, no,
because his name's not even. His name's not actually Machoke. That's just his nickname. Because
moving on,
you think Anywho. He only. You think he only has two arms? He actually has three. Is
oh
all
my
I'm saying.
Goodness.
Number three, and that was the September 13th episode, by the way, of 2018. Number three is I Want to Believe America Unearthed Scott Walter Tanner. Yay. That's number three for the past 2 years.
Yay.
Number four is Nerd Up from November 18th of 2018. Number five is Podzilla After Dark of July 26th of 2018. The next one is Mr. 100 and the Show Off Comedy, which means that a certain episode that we won't name and we'll never speak of again would probably be in the top five, but since it's dead, we won't worry about it. Next is Podzilla After Dark, Furry Porn, Lola Bunny, and 90s movies.
God, I'm sensing a trend here.
Yeah. Followed up by Nerd Up from September of 18. Are You Afraid of PZ85 After Dark? And then Nerd Up. So, yeah.
You know, I'm going to go there and say that after Tanner Thursday ended, that the quality of those shows kind of went weird.
Are you saying that because Podzilla After Dark is consistently the number one rated show?
Tanner, I need you to understand that correlation is not equal to causation.
Look, let me have my moment, okay?
Yeah, your moment.
It's not.
His movement.
Movement.
What the hell was the story I was going to tell?
I don't know.
I keep waiting for it, and you just keep...
No, I'm not telling that story. That story I'll tell off the air. That is officially
Tanner,
a story
Tanner.
I will not tell on the air.
Tanner, would you be willing to say that you'd be willing to wait for it?
That's something...
I'm willing to wait for it.
That's something he can do.
That's something he can do.
And you know, life doesn't discriminate.
The history's watching
between
this?
The sinners and the saints?
It takes, and it takes, and it takes. And history
obliterates. Oh, we do this all night. We don't. This will never end.
Can you do? Can't do. Can you do this all night? Because I have no idea what the fuck you're talking about.
It's Hamilton.
Oh.
Still well, haven't watched it. Sorry.
Why is it for a history with so many white people? There's only one white people on the show.
There's more than one.
That's
white
the
person
point.
On the show, but that is the point.
I know.
And both of them are bad.
Well, isn't one Aaron Burr?
No, Aaron Burr is played by Leslie Odom Jr.
Who's the white guy?
King George.
King George.
Oh, he's a bad guy.
But he's so fucking funny.
I think he had syphilis.
Also true.
I'm going to go there. He did. And say, I'm also going to go there and say that I think King George is one of the best parts of the show.
He is. There's a reason at the beginning of the show he says, silence your phones. My show is about to begin.
Oh, I still haven't watched Hamilton.
You got to, man. It's so good.
I know how it ends.
The hell you
Do
say?
Do you? Are you sure?
Doesn't Aaron
that reminds me,
doesn't
like,
Aaron Burr shoot
so,
him?
Yes.
That's not the ending.
That's
though.
Not the ending, but
oh, is it not?
That I mean, that's Hamilton's ending, but it's not the show's ending.
Well, the show's called Hamilton, so I assumed.
But you know, he's not even the star of the show.
Well, then they should have called it something else.
Well,
I didn't go to the solo film to watch and see, you know, that girl.
Lie.
I don't.
But the problem you're encountering here is that the character who really is the main character is still named Hamilton.
Oh, okay.
Partially,
I gotcha. I gotcha. But in all honesty, though,
I mean, it's debatable, Tanner. I understand where you're coming from. I know what you're getting at, but still.
But
okay, so I mean, she is definitely the star of the show. It's her story they're telling, not his.
Okay, I'm out.
It's her story through his shit. It's his story through her. Retelling of it.
Tanner, it's the story of America then told by America now.
Tanner, it's the story of a girl who cried a river and drowned
the whole
world.
I mean, she did. Her son died. Her husband died.
Spoilers.
You know who else died and drowned to tie those together? Ophelia.
Son of a bitch. That's something he can't do.
That's something I can do. I did it. It's done.
Yeah, like I need to talk to somebody else about this show because I fucking.
No. I told you I watched it a week ago.
Talk to Hunter about it,
and then you never said it. You're like, who else watched? I'm like, yeah, we're watching it right now. Then you just okay.
I guess I didn't see that. Well, we'll have to have a conversation soon.
Yeah, that's a conversation Hunter's looking forward to.
Well, Hunter may be excited to know that I've reached out to some stars of Hamilton. Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yeah, Lin.
And Chris Jackson.
Now, Chris Jackson's the local boy, right?
Yeah. Whoa.
Now, of
all
the
times... Oh, I didn't mean that in a racist way.
Boy.
Jesus Christ, come on.
Easy there, boy.
All right. All right.
Come on, boy.
No.
You said that.
Come on, boy. Come on, boy.
Oh, there it is.
Anyway, back to the story.
No, Tanner, of all the times that you have offered up, like, interviews and stuff, that would be one I would be willing to do.
I figured as much. I figured if it happens...
Well, God, Jesus Christ, I hope so, because every time Tanner's got an interview before you came back on her, the only person that ever wanted to do one was, like, me and Lindsay. Tanner would go to Jesse and say, Jesse, I got your favorite actor lined up for an interview. You want to do it? And Jesse would go, nah, I'm good.
I just, of all the times that he's offered him when I've been available, it's always been people I don't know very much about, and I just wouldn't want to be that, like Scott Walter would have been interesting to talk to, but I don't want to be the Chris Farley show. I don't want to sit there and go, you remember when you found the Kensington Runestone?
Remember when you...
Ouch, man.
That was awesome,
Remember when you unearthed America?
I'm so stupid.
When Tanner told me he got the interview with Scott Walter... my first reaction, of course, was, who is Scott Walter? And he then told me that he was on television, so my ears perked right up. And it was a fun...
Then I told him he's on Travel Channel.
Yeah, because I was like, oh, I'm going to ask him about Travel Channel. My whole goal in that interview was simply to ask him, what do you think about Zach Bagans? And I did. I asked him, what do you think about all the ghost shows on Travel Channel? Do you think it's appropriate? And he was just like, nah, I don't like it.
No, he said it's not his.
You were just that Shaq meme. Understandable. Have a good day.
Go on, Tanner.
I actually talked to him recently, and he's working on another project. He's wanting to come back on some point in time soon.
Well, Tanner, if you talk to Scott Walter, and I know he's on the Travel Channel, a lot of conspiracy theories going on over there about how to keep their data safe. Tell them that with NordVPN, he creates a funnel that the hackers can't get into.
Wait. Are you getting paid for this?
What are you talking about?
You doing paid ads?
No, that is ridiculous. Now, I will, if you excuse me, I'm going to go back to playing Raid Shadow Legends, the number one downloaded game on iTunes. And for
Shannon, I'm going to have to stop you.
I can't.
What?
I'm going to have to stop you. I've got to go check out my Blue Chew.
This is boner. This is boner pills.
I'm sorry, but if the ad was, I gotta go check out my Blue Chew, I'd be like, well, shit, I gotta buy some then. This is good stuff. That's the whole ad.
Gotta go check out my Blue Chew. That just reminds me of the...
Not since Head On applied directly to the forehead have you heard such incredible advertisement.
Oh, my.
Where's Shannon? Where are you going? Hold on, I gotta go check out my Blue Chew.
I gotta go check out my Blue Chew.
When I walk down the street,
it sounded like a messaging app.
Fucking quick-witted and witty. And...
Suck it, Trebek. Suck it long. Suck it hard.
Then the day is mine.
I'll take anal bum covers for $400.
That's album covers.
That's
huh?
An album cover.
Yeah. What?
Bitch.
Bah! Got me again. One of the few Family Guy jokes that I ever really liked was the one where Peter got drunk and was like doing stand-up, and he goes like, you guys hear Viagra? You know what that stuff does?
I maintain, and I think you guys often forget that it's part of our vernacular. It's part of our, like, group memes. But the best thing to ever come out of Family Guy is when Brian is taking Meg to prom. And she goes, he's super drunk. She goes, Brian, how do you like my dress? And he goes, it sure is, Meg. And that's where that comes from. He's completely hammered.
It sure is, Meg.
We do that often. Somebody says something, we'll be like, it sure is, Meg.
There's so many things that we've stolen over the years from different shows and made our own. We were reminiscing recently. I don't know why the obsession of mine started again. It was on July 4th. I started obsessing over Chaz the Intolerant Chick-fil-A Chicken again.
It had not I started before 4th of July. You were talking about it before then.
I think so. But just when they hit me with the godless sodomites thing again, I was like, oh, I missed that. I missed that one. I'm going to bring that one back.
I also forget, I'm just going to do it because why not? One of the best Family Guy bits is from that same episode, though, because when they're at prom, the girl that's been bullying Meg, Brian, who is still drunk, goes up to her and goes, you know, Connie, I think I have a theory about why you're such a bitch. And she's like, excuse me? And Meg's trying to pull him away, and he goes, no, hang on, Meg, hang on. You see, Connie, you're popular because you developed early and started putting out when you were 12, but now you can't stand to look at yourself in the mirror because all you see is a whore, so you pick on Meg to avoid the inevitable realization that once your body's used up by age 19, you're going to be a worn-out, chonky-skinned burlap sack that even your stepdad won't want. How's that? Am I in the ballpark?
Jesus Christ. The fact that you remember it so clearly.
I don't. I'm reading it.
Oh, okay. Thank God.
She just turns around and runs off crying.
Well,
you know, we can make a whole show out of some of the bits we've done with each other. Wait a minute.
It's not wrong. Yeah. That is the show, Tanner.
Yeah, I mean, that's what this show is, basically.
It's just entertaining ourselves.
This is why the cold opens work so well for this, why the table reads, because this is just what we do. Seinfeld was just the tip of the iceberg. We never do that. That was just getting us used to this.
Yeah.
Because I think it's just, is it just me or is it like me and Jesse are the only ones who even watch Seinfeld? I feel like Jesse did.
Yes.
I watched a little bit in college because one of my roommates would watch an episode before she'd go to her 6 o'clock class.
Yeah. No, I grew up on that show. So that's why I threw it out there as an option first go around. And that also was like, that took up the back half of that show. We did like, that was like a 20, 30 minute read.
I'm trying to find any Chaz the intolerant Chick-fil-A chicken quotes because I was going to read some of those, but there's none that I can find. I'm trying to, and it's one of those things that I don't want to remember off the top of my head because you can't screw up the quotes. If you screw up the quotes, it's not as funny. So
I do have, and it probably won't last very long, nor will it be like necessarily super entertaining to the audience because it's a visual thing for you guys. But it's a little quiz we can do at some point if you want.
Let's just do it now.
We absolutely don't have to. Are you gonna do it now?
Well, actually, hold on. No,
let's just jump in.
No, shut up, Lindsay. Before we do that, I want to ask.
Hey, shut up!
Shut the hell up!
You're the one who almost left me stranded.
Hunter's about to do this quiz for you.
He brought those for you. he brought the keys to the Osage Center for you.
Because he took them originally and didn't leave them.
Lindsay, just let it go. It's a bit. It's making me uncomfortable.
I am aware.
Just let him get it out of your system.
That's fine.
Attention to teachers and students. Now.
God, fucking go. Just do it.
Okay, so what I'm going to do.
No.
Wait, you wanted to do something first.
Yeah, no.
Herb.
Herb. Do the show.
I legitimately was going to ask you, Hunter, because you had mentioned to me, we were talking about the show we did the other day about our favorite directors. And I was going to ask you who some of your favorite directors are.
So I kind of mentioned some of them at the end of that show, and I'm mainly trying to mention people who weren't mentioned originally because I know you guys hit pretty well all the classics, Tarantino and all that. Who, to be fair, honestly, as much as I like some Tarantino movies, I would probably not put him on my top list only because of his, what, 9 movies? I mean, I would cite 3 as some of my favorite movies.
That's
so
true.
His track record percentage-wise is good. But he hasn't done a lot overall.
Okay, wait, I got to find out. Which movies did you not like?
Yeah, I was about to say, all right, Hunter, you tell us, what is the worst Tarantino film in your opinion?
Oh, that's, okay, he directed 9, right? Because I'm going to have to look at the freaking list again to remember exactly.
Let's go over the top of our heads. Kill Bill. Was that kind of 1 movie or 2?
See, that's what I don't know.
I mean, I would go by individual films,
so it would
be 2.
I remember I tried to do this once. Well, and the same goes for Grindhouse because he only directed half of that.
Yeah. Well, it's that one. I'm just gonna say it's that one.
It's not. Oh, it's not. Death Proof is not. To this day.
You mean
I
Entertainment
do not
Proof?
Why you hate Death Proof so much? Oh, you people. Oh, I'm just back to the wall now.
I was
so
bored.
Death Proof is
so
much better than you're giving. Okay, if it's boring, then that means you probably don't like Tarantino.
I don't.
Number one. There it is. I mean, that, well, as Jeff Goldblum would say, well, there it is.
There it is. I can't think of a movie that's worse, though. Oh, you know what? I think probably my least favorite is... I'd say Hateful Eight just because it goes on so goddamn long.
Yeah, I didn't care for Hateful Eight.
I didn't love Hateful Eight, don't get me wrong. But to me, it's easier to answer what the top three are, in my opinion, okay. Anyway.
Okay.
So number one with a bullet is Django. Django really? Unchained, to me, is his best movie, yes.
Okay.
Right under that, and I know you haven't seen it, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is incredible.
Okay.
And that one regularly fights for my favorite. Like, that and Django are that close. And then after that, it's Inglourious Bastards.
Let's say that's surprising. My favorite is and always will be Pulp Fiction. I don't know why.
To me, man, I'm gonna get crucified for this. Pulp Fiction is overrated. I like it, but I don't love it. I don't think it's as good as everyone makes it out to be.
There are certain parts of it I truly love. The Sam Jackson, John Travolta dynamic is great. And
it's one of the most quotable movies ever.
Harvey Keitel as Winston Wolfe.
But again, I was going to say, quotable from whose point of view? Because if the whole movie is Tarantino or is Sam Jackson and John Travolta and Uma Thurman, then yes. Everything else is just kind of there.
Yeah. He's not wrong. Well, except maybe Bruce Willis.
I was going to say, tell me I'm wrong, because Hateful Eight is really long too, but at least Hateful Eight has a continuous story I can go through and enjoy all the way beginning to end. Pulp Fiction, every time they go to Bruce Willis, the only thing you get out of that is Zed's dead, baby. Zed's dead, and that's it. Everything else is,
Well, you get the classic, I'm going to get medieval on his ass, but that's not Bruce Willis. That's the fantastic Ving Rhames.
And don't get me wrong, I love Ving Rhames. Ving Rhames is a great actor, but I don't think Pulp Fiction is the, piece de resistance that people make it out to be as Tarantino's movies go.
A better question, what's the best Robert Rodriguez film? Because it's very easily Desperado. Lord.
I mean, I'm almost certain you're going to say Once Upon a Time in Mexico, right?
No, you said Desperado.
Yeah. Because I liked, the reason I like Desperado more than Once Upon a Time in Mexico is Johnny Depp. I'm going to say it.
So for the record, I always forget which is which because it's been a long time since I've seen those movies, so I just knew it was one of them.
Desperado was
the first one.
El Mariachi was the first one, but then it was that Evil Dead 2 thing where Desperado was both a remake / sequel to El Mariachi. But Desperado is this really tight action thriller. It's fantastic from beginning to end. But Once Upon a Time in Mexico, they throw so many characters and so many plots into it because it's not just Antonio Banderas' character of trying to avenge the death of Salma Hayek. It's not just the agent trying to avenge the death of his, partner. It's not just Johnny Depp's character trying to take down whatever. Like, it's too confusing. Like, there's too much. They threw too many things in the fire. Desperado is way better because it's a revenge story with a shit ton of style. That's the best part of it. Once Upon a Time in Mexico.
This is going to be an unpopular opinion, but Robert Rodriguez, for me personally, his best movie, Sin City. I loved Sin City. I thought Sin City was incredible.
That was a fantastic movie.
It was one of the few graphic novels that I had read that was not, classic superhero, Batman, Spider-Man stuff. And so I knew it going into it anyway. And it was so good. It was one of the first things that I picked up like a big collector's edition of and still have.
Maria just pointed out to me, because I always forget he did it. He did Alita. I always forget that Robert Rodriguez did Battle Angel Alita. And I love that movie.
Of the things that I forget that he does, The Faculty. The Faculty was Robert Rodriguez.
I completely forgot that too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
I think we can at least all agree that's in his like top five. Because that is fantastic. So good.
Definitely.
I think with go ahead, Tanner.
The Faculty was one of those. It's one of the first, when it first came out, it was the only modern, quote unquote, modern horror film that I actually enjoyed. Back then, I didn't step away from any of the classic slashers from the 70s and 80s. But once that movie came out, I love that movie.
I'm not even going to make fun of the fact you haven't seen Predator.
I've never said it up to this point, but this is going to be this is where you and I are going to, because I've said before, I like Predator just fine. I don't love it, but it's I recognize it and respect it, whatever. But my favorite at the time modern horror movie, and probably my all-time favorite slasher, Scream.
I mean, that's fair. I'm not going to argue with that.
I love it.
Okay.
Here's
where I jump
up
in
on that movie and loved it.
Here's why I like Scream, but why I also don't like Scream. Why it never touched me the same way. Because Scream is, and it's going to sound weird, and this is going to sound like a stupid argument, and please forgive me, but Scream was too smart for its own good. When I think of horror, especially slasher horror, I'm in that camp of the stereotypes. And Scream was, it kind of turned it all on its head, which was the point of it. And that's why it earned its legacy.
Yes.
But at the same time, I kind of prefer the Halloweens and stuff like that, and the Friday the 13th. And I don't know why. Maybe because it's the villain. Because the villain in those movies was so much more threatening to me than Ghostface was. Ghostface was just kind of, it was whatever.
Ghostface is, it's more of an image than it is a person or a character, though. It doesn't really matter. Well, I mean, yeah, obviously it matters who's behind there, because right, that's the whole point of the plot. But it's more of the legacy of the image than it is of the individual person each time.
And you know what?
To be fair, diminishing returns every time. The first one is far and away the best one.
Right. And it got progressively worse as it went along.
Yes. I see. And now they're talking about bringing it back, and I...
Yeah.
Well, the most recent one, I'm not gonna lie, I enjoyed. Yeah.
Four was fine. Okay. Maybe not entirely diminishing returns, but one is still the best one. Then five, and then everything else is just who cares. Although, right, to be fair, three is exceptionally bad. So yeah, it's 1, 4, 2, and 3. I guess I do care.
Was it two or three that had Jay and Silent Bob in it?
Three. Three is ostensibly the worst one. Like, yeah, we don't talk about three. Courtney Cox's bangs. Let's just not pretend any of that happened.
And to be fair, Scream, the very first one, has what I think is top five, at least, maybe top 10, of best openings for a horror movie ever. The Drew Barrymore segment.
Oh, yeah.
It was shocking.
Because no one saw that coming.
Right.
No one knew that she was in that movie for 20 minutes, and that was it.
Because she was on the poster. You know, she was on the poster. Yeah. She was in the promotional material. Everyone knew Drew Barrymore way more than they knew Neve Campbell or David Arquette, guys like that.
Yeah, when people talk about movie twists, all too often it's about movie twist endings. More we need to be talking about those surprises that you get early or midway through the movie that hit you. And that was like the penultimate one of my childhood.
And there,
that was the one that just hit.
There was another one, and it was that, and it's not the same, obviously. I wouldn't put the two on the same level, but it very much reminded me of like Alfred Hitchcock with Psycho, where they killed off Janet Leigh in the first half of the movie, and she was the star of the film.
Right.
And then they killed her off, and it was shocking.
I had to look because I couldn't remember exactly. So Scream came out in 96. You want to know why it hit me so hard? I was 11. Like, I was at the absolute perfect age for that to be just scary enough to freak me out, but also just cognizant enough to be like, this is actually really well made and good.
And it's also the only self-aware horror movie that I like or that I thought was truly great until Cabin in the Woods.
That's fair as well.
Yep.
Okay, so let me ask you guys this question before we get away from Scream. Best actor performance in the first film, your opinion?
In the first Scream film?
Yes.
Matthew Lillard.
Agreed.
I thought he was great.
I agree. I was actually going to say, okay, I'm going to give the unpopular one to say Matthew Lillard. I agree.
No, I would go with
Skeet Ulrich. I loved his performance in that movie.
They were both great, don't get me wrong, but Lillard was just such an, again, it comes back to that twist. It's that surprise of, oh, wait, he's in on it too, and then he goes full crazy.
Yeah, his full crazy was the best part of
it. My mom's going to kill me, man.
When he stabs him. You know that
you went too deep.
Yeah, that was great. And Skeet Ulrich was really good as like the non-caring part of it. Like, clearly didn't give a shit about his life. It was a good film. What was her name? Rose McGowan was great in that movie, until she got her neck broken in the doggy door.
That is still one really of the cool. That's one of my top kills in a horror film.
Really, most everybody is. Worst performance easily goes to David Arquette. Can he just not be involved in any of them? And yet he's talking about coming back for the next one. And I'm like, but why?
Why
do we still need Officer Doofy?
Also,
I can't agree with it, man.
Also, that's the only movie that I liked Jamie Kennedy.
That's also fair.
I'll say it.
Yeah.
Lindsay,
I think that's the only time anybody liked Jamie Kennedy.
No,
I can't agree with that either.
I know Lindsay is a big fan of Jamie Kennedy and Son of the Mask.
What?
I know you're a big fan of that, The Son of the Mask, starring Jamie Kennedy.
No, I'm not. That's a terrible movie.
Shannon,
I don't even know who that is.
Well, like, what's up with it?
Yeah, what's up with it?
It was a sequel that should have never been fucking made.
It doesn't exist.
It's barely even a sequel.
It really wasn't.
That movie to Lindsay is like Turtles 3 to Asa. Like, what happened? That's not real.
That's not a real film.
They wouldn't do that.
They wouldn't do that.
So I'm... That is not my favorite Jamie Kennedy performance. I mean, it's up there. It's like number. It, okay, maybe it is. But like,
you're going to talk about that movie where he's like the white rapper,
Malibu's
right?
Most
nope.
Wanted.
Nope, I am not. Oh, that but I'm going to talk awful. About is
Traffic.
Also
traffic.
Still technically,
what was that? How's the song go? No, I'm going to do the song. It goes,
I don't know.
It
who
goes,
the fuck watched the movie? So
it goes,
knows?
Traffic. Was it traffic? Traffic. Looking for my chapstick. Feeling kind of car sick. That's a Ford Maverick. Yeah.
Oh.
Slider.
Tanner, what did you say?
I was going to say that other good Jamie Kennedy performances are also in thrillers slash horrors. And it's the last two, which I'm sure no one here has watched except maybe Shannon.
Seen it.
The what last it? Two Tremors.
Oh, yeah, actually, I have seen it. Oh.
And like, he actually puts on a pretty good performance in those
so,
movies.
So, I'm going to say this right now.
Easy?
No, I'm going to say that the Tremor sequels are all good.
Yeah.
Like, surprisingly, well, they're not great by any fucking stretch of the imagination. But when
they're
you,
fun.
Yeah, when you look at the like the great horror series and their sequels, like, I think we can all agree that Friday the 13th did pretty good job with their sequels. They weren't all good, but they were memorable. Friday
the theatrical releases.
Nightmare on Elm Street had one good movie, one okay sequel, one pretty good sequel, and the rest was garbage. But Tremors, it's like if Nightmare on Elm Street, the first movie, was an A+ film, and Wes Craven's New Nightmare was an A-, then everything in between it was like a C- to a D. Tremors starts at a B- or C+ and just stays there. So good on them.
It's what do they call it? Precision versus accuracy.
Consistently,
you know,
mediocre. The same.
Consistency. Yeah. So your original question was about directors.
Yes.
And the only two I can think of that you guys didn't talk about originally, other than we've talked about like Bob Zemeckis for right. Back to the Future and those sorts of things. The only two that really come to mind, technically it's three, are, and that'll give part of that away. The Coen brothers weren't mentioned there. Raising Arizona,
mm-hmm.
but also Fargo, The Big Lebowski, Oh Brother Where Art Thou, No Country for Old Men, True Grit. I still maintain that their remake of True Grit is one of the best remakes of all time.
Yes, yes, I have some.
Ballad of Buster Scruggs. If you haven't watched that on Netflix,
oh,
that's great.
So
that's
much
a long
fun
time to get through, but it's so good. So they have a lot, and don't get me wrong, they have a lot of things that I personally didn't care for either, but were pretty well. Received, like Burn After Reading. I couldn't get into it, but I understood why people did. A Serious Man. There was another one I'm trying to think of off the top of my head. Hudsucker Proxy. Well, that one didn't do so well, but people like later appreciated it. So yeah, they did some good stuff. And like different stuff. I think that was my favorite part about it is that they don't really have a style. I mean, they do. But they do a lot of different movies with it. Raising Arizona is much more a comedy than obviously True Grit is, being yeah. more of an action drama.
Can I say one thing real quick about The Ballad yes. of Buster Scruggs?
Yes.
I was, if you've never seen the film, it's amazing. Go watch it. It's really good. But I was actually really depressed. I was sad that it wasn't all about Buster Scruggs. I thought he was going to be the crypt keeper of that film where he tied the stories together. He's only in the he's in the first segment. He's out. He's gone.
Yeah, that's it. I think it's the second story because there's six of them, right?
I think so.
I think it is the second story, the one that's about the woman on the wagon train. That is...
Yeah, because I think Franco was the second one.
It's been so long.
Yeah, Franco was the second
one. Yeah, you're right. It was the third one. It's been so long. I watched it when it came out, and I haven't watched it since. But that story about the woman on the wagon train is a short story, and I cannot remember what it is, but it's an incredibly well-written short story. So if you've never read it, it's worth looking into as well.
Was that your favorite segment of that movie?
Oh, man, don't make me pick. I liked them all, and again, that's another thing where the Coen brothers, this is now them doing a whole bunch of different styles in a single movie.
Right.
They do a little comedy, they do a little tragedy, they do one that's almost an entirely silent film, which was just crazy with how good it was.
There's the last one's very horror-like, and
yeah,
you know, that one, I'm still trying to figure that one out, but I do believe my absolute favorite from that one was Tom Waits and... Where he's the old like prospector. Yeah.
Yep.
Yes.
Yep.
That was
my favorite one. Yeah.
Yep.
Have you seen The Ballad of Buster Scruggs? You have not? Oh, we got to watch that. It's long, but it's so good.
Can I make a request? Will you watch Raising Arizona first, please?
Yeah, we'll watch. I promise you, we'll watch it this weekend. You have my word. Absolute word.
Because I know you're going to love it, and I want to be able to quote it to you. That's the thing. Every time I quote it, no one else knows what I'm talking about.
Here's the problem. Whenever we go to bed at night, instead of putting on a movie like sensible people, we watch an hour and a half of Gray Still Plays, Jiggly Panda, which I didn't even know was a thing.
That's because you go to YouTube rather than putting on a film.
That's true.
Here's the good news. After Saturday, you're going to need to relax. Well, yes. I guess after Sunday, technically. And Sunday will be the day. Watch it Sunday night and just love and enjoy it. And then the other one that I want to mention before we get, because somebody else, Tanner's got to do this at some point, I'm guessing, is Edgar Wright. Edgar Wright did not get mentioned in the original one, and I think he deserves a little credit as well. The Three Flavors Cornetto trilogy, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, and The World's End.
Yeah,
that's
Scott Pilgrim, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, Baby Driver. I would say.
Didn't Tanner do the director thing?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you were on that show, weren't you? Never mind. I was thinking somebody didn't do that. I forgot that you were on that show. I guess it was just me. Okay.
I think it's because it almost sounds like that was last night's show. But because
it was not.
Right, and Tanner wasn't on last night, yeah. Real quick before we get to that quiz thing, because I want to do that, because I'm curious about what the fuck it is. But
it's not going to be that great. It's fine. We're going to end on a whimper if that's the last thing we do. So
yeah, that's fine. That's what I'm hoping 2020 does. So I thought about, we talked about Bob Zemeckis and his great films, and I thought, well, my favorite movie from Robert Zemeckis, I mean, I know Back to the Future, obviously, I'm assuming it's Lindsay's, clearly, but yes. Mine, I was going to say mine is The Frighteners, but then I looked it up, and he actually did not direct The Frighteners. I was wrong about this. He produced it. You know who directed The Frighteners? Peter Jackson. I did not know that.
Oh yeah, I knew he did a horror movie, but I didn't remember it was that one.
Well, because he did The Frighteners, but Peter Jackson's when you talk about horror, I think Peter Jackson's mostly remembered for Dead Alive.
Dead Alive?
Yeah,
yeah. I knew there was another one in there.
But have you ever seen The Frighteners?
No, I have not. I don't think so. Anyway,
legitimately one of my all time favorite horror films. Tanner, have you seen it?
What was it?
The Frighteners with Michael J. Fox.
I have not.
So the basic story is that Michael J. Fox is a psychic, or not a psychic, I guess he's a seer. He could communicate with ghosts, and he got this ability after his wife died. So he basically employs ghosts to haunt places so that he can then come in and exorcise them. It's funny. He's running a scam, except he can really see the ghosts and talk to them. But then all of a sudden this ghost in a black hood that they call like the Reaper starts showing up and killing people. And he like puts numbers in their foreheads. And he remembers that when he saw his wife dying, she had a number in her forehead. So now it's him trying to figure out who this Reaper is and why he's killing people. And it's just this really good movie. It was supposed to be the third Tales from the Crypt film. Because the Tales from the Crypt film went Demon Knight, Bordello of Blood, and then The Frighteners was supposed to be the third one, but then something happened with the rights, so they couldn't attach it to Tales from the Crypt, so they just made it as its own film called The Frighteners. It's funny. It's pretty scary. The effects don't always hold up because this is from the 90s, but if you get a chance, watch The Frighteners. It is so, it's so much fun. So that's all I want to say.
Okay.
Bob Zemeckis, by the way, did a lot more than I remembered. First of all, I totally forgot he was behind Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
Yeah.
And so Forrest Gump.
You might have to amend that, Lindsay.
What? Amend what?
Yeah, Bob Zemeckis directed Who Framed Roger Rabbit.
I mean, I like that too, but I still really like Back to the Future.
Oh, yeah. All three Back to the Future movies. He did Death Becomes Her. He did Forrest Gump.
Castaway.
Castaway, The Polar Express, which I know Beowulf. I never got into that, but I know that's a lot for me. Beowulf, nobody gives a crap about Beowulf.
Whoa.
Well, not that version. No, but not that version anyway.
No, I don't. I know you don't. To be fair, I don't.
I know you don't.
Oh, he did Monster House. So yeah, that was a good one.
I liked Monster House.
I completely skipped over that one. That was a good one.
He did. Oh, he did. Did he do Ghost Ship?
He was a producer on that one, I think.
Yeah, I'm looking at just as directorial.
Okay.
That was the other thing. You guys were talking toward the end. Somebody mentioned George Lucas, and you and I had this conversation. George Lucas, great writer, great creator, not a great director. Yeah, not a great director. I would not put him on my list for that. He's notorious for not being good at giving stage directions.
I also want to throw out that we were talking earlier about the top, we put the opening to Scream in our top horror movie openings of all time. Not a good movie, but the opening to Ghost Ship is legitimately one of the greatest horror openings of all time. Hold the hell up.
Did you say Ghost Ship's not a good movie?
I was pissed at you when you left me alone the first time watching that.
Ghost Ship is an okay movie. It's a fun movie, but it's not a great movie.
Ghost Ship's one of my favorite movies to watch at Halloween.
Nothing about that movie matches up to the opening, though. Because I remember being in the theater and seeing that opening and being like, oh, this is going to be good. And it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, because how do you start the film off with an incredible opening and just a huge, copious amount of blood and gore, and then you don't get it for the rest of the film at all?
Well, I don't know. Ask Paul Feig, because he pulled it off with Ghostbusters in 2016.
Ghostbusters also had, to me, one of the best openings of all time. I don't really classify Ghostbusters as horror, though. We've talked about it before. It's a horror comedy. That opening, though, was legitimately good, and then it did nothing else matched up to that opening.
It did nothing with it.
I think the opening to the Ghostbusters reboot is better than the opening to the original Ghostbuster films.
Oh, nope. Can't give you that.
In my opinion. In my opinion.
It's interesting, but if you sit and break it down, it's a little too goofy for its own good.
Yeah, his response, I didn't notice it the first time I saw it, but I agree with you. When I've gone back and watched it over and over again, because I've seen the movie at this point like 7 or 8 times, he is very over the top with his descriptions. I still like the film. That's one of the everyone always says
this is not the show.
Everyone always says, "Oh, Shannon and Hunter just fucking circle jerk," and they always agree on everything. We don't, and this is one of the best examples.
Yeah,
yeah.
Now, to be fair though, we're also all always very good about having civil discussions about that particular.
This is the closest one we don't, because
it is
you.
It's true.
Go for the jugular whenever I talk about this film. Anyway,
it's true.
Let's go to the whimper. I heard you got a whimper for me. Let's whimper.
So, I got some images of some classic TV bedrooms.
Oh, and while you're doing that, I wanted to mention this. I've been trying to mention this to you for weeks now, and I keep forgetting.
To me?
Yes. So, you know, you've come in and seen me play Dark Souls more than once, right?
Yes.
And I'm always telling you, man, you should play Dark Souls, and you always say no because you don't want to, you know, throw your system out the window.
Yes.
Well, I now have a reason why you should never touch the game, ever, if you ever thought about playing it. Because I know that you are very sensitive. You and Sarah both are very sensitive to animals being hurt in video games, especially dogs.
Yeah, it was hard to play through The Last of Us 2. Very hard.
So there is a boss fight. It's one of the coolest boss fights in the game where you go...
Oh, is it the dog with the sword?
Yes. You go
I know about that.
You go to the grave of Artorias, and Sif is protecting it. But do you know how that fight ends?
You cut his head off, don't you?
No. What happens is you fight him, and it's an honorable fight, but once you get him down to a certain health, he stops fighting back, and he just limps around whimpering. And you have to execute him, basically.
See, that's the thing. When it comes to like The Last of Us or something like that, they've been trained to attack. So there's nothing I can do about that. B, generally, a single shot takes them down, and then they ultimately disappear. So I can get out of the way from that pretty quickly most of the time. I did find out, however, and I don't think this is a spoiler, but if somebody's playing The Last of Us and doesn't want to hear it, you better fast forward about 15 seconds. So all the dogs in that game are, like, mastered, like somebody's walking them around because they're scent-tracking dogs. If you kill the master first, the dog will whimper over their dead body.
Well, you just nudge them
and try to get them up.
Maria just cringed.
Yeah, it's bad. If you kill them, obviously the person screams, but that happens anyway. It's The Last of Us. Everything in that game screams.
Right.
So, but yeah, that broke me a little bit. I'm like, no. We're going to restart this encounter and take care of them first.
And if you play the DLC for Dark Souls before you play through the game normal, you actually team up with a young Sif in one of the parts. He actually helps you in a boss fight. Then when you meet, if you do that first and you meet him later in the game to fight him, he jumps on you, and instead of starting the fight, he actually sniffs you at first and then looks sad because he recognizes you, and then you have to fight him, and then you have to kill him.
Nah, I'm good. There's a reason I didn't make it anywhere into the second Wolfenstein game, because they force you to murder a tied up dog for no reason, and I literally went, well, this is not the game for me. So... never mind.
All right, what about these what about these bedrooms?
So I'm going to send you guys in the Discord some images of classic TV bedrooms, and you have to tell me what show they're from.
All right, Maria, get in on this.
We're going to start with an easy one. I do also have multiple choices if nobody knows at all, but I think you probably won't need them for a lot of them. All right, here's the first one.
Hey, Arnold.
Yes. Yeah, that is that is one? Arnold's bedroom from Hey Arnold up in the attic.
With I was so jealous of that bedroom as a kid.
Not yeah, right? a clue.
All right, here is the second one. I think there's 25 of these. They probably won't take that long, though. The person has been blurred out to not give it away.
Clarissa explains it all.
No.
No.
It is not. That is one of the four options, though, surprisingly.
The other three?
Maria? No? Maria's blanking.
What are our options?
Okay, Clarissa was one of them. There's also Lizzie McGuire, Gilmore Girls, or Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
I'm
Buffy
going with Gilmore Buffy. Girls.
What's that?
I'm going with Gilmore Girls.
I'm saying Buffy.
Tanner?
I'm going to go with Lizzie.
I was going to say, you're all wrong. It's Lizzie McGuire.
Really? Yeah. Okay.
Okay, yep. So let me break it down for you. Let me break it down why. It's clearly not Gilmore Girls because the girl in that picture is blonde. I think that's pretty obvious. It's not Buffy because I've seen every Buffy episode, and at no point did Buffy have a thing in the background that said, our friend the brain. Therefore,
our friend the brain.
By the process of elimination, that is definitely Lizzie McGuire. Yeah.
Well,
Tanner, also
Clarissa is the only one of those shows that I watched enough to know what the
room
is.
Yeah, I feel like Clarissa would never have been that dark either or shot in that closely. Her room was always shot in wide.
Tanner, do me a favor. Hit that crush button for Hillary Duff.
Shit, I can't find it.
There it is.
Okay. I probably should have started with this because this one would have been even easier than Hey Arnold, but here you go anyway.
Powerpuff Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the color.
Thank you, Grandma! All
right, this one stumped me, but I won't say why until after the fact. Let's try that one.
Oh.
Dharma and Greg?
iCarly?
It is neither of those.
It's Nickelodeon, I think.
Yes, it is.
It's,
I have no clue.
The Sweet Life of Zach and Cody.
Josh and Drake.
Nope.
Drake and Josh.
That is Drake and Josh. That is the bedroom of Drake and Josh.
No, Hunter, the correct answer, who gives a shit?
Yes.
You're not wrong. I was going to say this one stumped me because I never saw this show because I was out of the out of the Nickelodeon loop by then.
To be fair, I've never seen Powerpuff Girls, but when I look at that bedroom, that screams Powerpuff Girls at me.
It's pretty obvious.
Yeah. That screams Sugar Spice and everything nice.
There's another one for you.
Well, it's on from the Disney Channel.
Yep, you can see the
Yes, it is.
Sweet Life?
Yeah, so I was going to think.
I don't know.
That is the Sweet Life of Zach and Cody, yes.
Oh.
It is? Okay.
That is, it's one of the girls' rooms. Yes.
Yeah, like I said, that looks like it's a blurred out Ashley Tisdale.
Indeed it is. All right.
Tanner, crush button.
Yeah, I was about to say, I need that one too.
There's the next one for you, going back to animation.
Samurai Jack.
That is not.
I don't know.
I don't know this one.
Is it Kim Possible?
No.
It is indeed Kim
Possible.
Is it
really?
That is Kim's room.
It's because the little cheerleader thingy is at the end of the bed. The megaphone.
Oh, yeah.
That artwork does not look like anything like that show as far as I can remember.
Kim. Tanner.
The backgrounds in that show were a lot more abstract than the characters.
Shannon, I'm not hitting the crush button
Tanner,
for the animated character.
Hit the
I'm
crush
not doing
button
for
Kim
Carly,
Possible.
No.
Hit it for Kim Possible, Tanner. God damn
he
it.
He means for Christy
Carlson Romano.
That's the problem.
Yeah, if that's...
Just to clarify, there it is unblurred. So indeed it is...
Oh, shit.
I guess, yeah.
Indeed it is that.
I didn't even see the blur in the original picture. I thought that was part of the background.
All right, let's try this one. And again, remember, it's just classic TV. It doesn't have to be kids' TV. There's a new one for you.
Boy Meets... No, shit. I was going to say Boy Meets World, and I saw the Scarface poster. What the hell are they doing over on ABC?
Boy Meets World is one of the four options, but I will tell you it is incorrect.
All right, what fucking kid has a Scarface and Hitchcock poster?
He says it doesn't have to be kids.
And a plush penguin on their bed.
I was just going to say, there's a stuffed animal on the bed.
The Hunter, penguin should give it away.
Club Penguin.
I have right, no
your,
idea.
Here are your four options. Boy Meets World, That 70s Show, Even Stevens, or Friends.
It's got to be That 70s Show.
I'd say Even Stevens.
I'm going to go with That 70s Show because it's clearly not Friends. Friends?
It is none of those. It is Friends.
I paused it. Who has Scarface in their room?
Is Joey's bedroom.
He's an actor.
And he's from Jersey. There you go. That's him and Paul Rudd as Mike.
So yep. I have never watched
The Penguin. That's his, I forget what its name is, but he gives it to Rachel's baby when she has a baby. He gives it to him.
I don't remember enough of Friends. I've never watched Friends other than when Allie made me watch it. I literally have never seen an episode of Friends other than that, so I have no idea about Friends.
Yeah, the penguin's name is Hugsy. He is his bedtime penguin pal.
Hugsy.
All right,
Siegel.
Here's a new one.
Rest in peace, Nipsey Hussle.
For you. There you go.
Sabrina.
Yep, because yeah, that's Salem in the picture.
Yeah.
Yep. That is Salem, and indeed it is Sabrina the Teenage Witch.
I just remember the stained glass windows.
That was a very low Maria, I think. I'm going to put this closer to you.
No, you can hear. Well, at least I could hear her perfectly
Sabrina.
Fine.
Sabrina.
Also, right.
Next round.
That's Clarissa.
Yes, it is.
Oh, yeah. That damn window.
Tanner.
Shanna, what'd they do?
Tanner, there it is. Oh, they canceled.
You were saying they did something.
They canceled Sabrina, the new show.
Yeah,
really?
The new one. It's fine.
I never watched it after the first season.
No. First season was great. Second season was okay. I didn't even care about the third or fourth.
I didn't even
it
watch
happened
the
too
second
fast.
Season.
They escalated the stakes of that show literally like more than once an episode. It was too much.
Yeah.
All right, here's a new one for you.
Before y'all answer, I want to say that the girl they got to play Sabrina, I can never pronounce her name correctly.
Kiernan Shipka. She was also in Mad Men.
And she's fantastic. She was the best choice for Sabrina by far.
Yep.
No, I'll give you that much, yeah.
Way better than Melissa Joan Hart was. Even though I had the crush. No, I had the crush.
It depends on the show, though.
That's true.
Were great for their particular types of shows.
That's true,
were two separate shows completely.
I do miss Nick McKay as Salem, though. This fucking room, though. Mr. Belvedere. What?
I have no idea.
I almost wanted to say The Labyrinth, but...
Oh, you're going to be real
mad. It's TV, not movies.
It has to be TV.
TV.
Yeah. All right. You want some options?
Even Stevens.
Yeah.
The Rapist.
Here are your options. Charmed, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, Sabrina the Teenage Witch, or Gilmore Girls.
Judging by the
hats and how pretentious that room looks, I'm going to say Gilmore Girls.
Gilmore, yeah.
The photo is credited to Mutant Enemy Productions. Indeed, it is Buffy. That's Buffy's room.
Really?
Yeah. Yep.
It honestly hit me right at the end when he started talking.
Yep. In fact, there's Buffy.
Okay. Yeah. I wouldn't take her as a sun hat type person, but you know.
Oh, you've never watched Buffy then?
No, I haven't. Yeah, early seasons. All right, here's a new one.
Buffy used to be happy.
For a while.
Eric Andre show. That's clearly
like
Hannibal's room.
Like what's up with it?
Yeah. What's the choices on this one? You're picking a lot of shows with girls laying in bed and I don't know them.
Let me just clarify. I'm not picking anything.
It's important to mention. Yeah, I don't know. But what I meant by that, let me clarify, is this seems like, I don't know, other than Buffy, these all seem like very much teen girl shows, which I know Tanner was a big fan of, but I'm not. I don't know what they are.
It's a BuzzFeed quiz. What can you do? All right, here are your options for this one: Boy Meets World,
no.
Charmed, Zoe 101, or Gilmore Girls.
Zoe 101.
It could be Gilmore.
Charmed. Why not?
I'm gonna go Gilmore.
Tanner's right. It's Rory's room at Gilmore Girls.
Damn it!
You're seeing it from a weird angle. This would clear things up.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. All right.
Pretentious ass show.
On to the next one.
It's derivative.
Bob's listening, he's gonna be mad. It is. It's for shallow and pedantic.
That '70s Show.
Yeah, that '70s Show.
Yeah, that one's easy. Given the stuff around the room.
Also,
and that's it.
Kudos to that Godzilla.
I thought you said there was 25.
No. I said there. If you're under 25, you can't pass this.
Oh,
yeah.
I like the little Godzilla. I have that Godzilla.
You know what's funny is that none of the correct answers were Boy Meets World, but I think it was an option for everything. And I just finally got my wife to watch through the show. So she didn't watch it when she was a kid. It's legitimately one of my all-time favorite sitcoms.
Oh, I love Boy
and
Meets World.
Wait, how did
we
she,
had nothing?
Why?
Do what?
How do you not sit and watch Boy Meets World when you're a child?
I mean,
your
fair,
name is Shannon Young.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's not a ubiquitous weird, thing. So. Don't get me wrong. But
I like Topanga. Tanner, hit it.
So, now that Disney Plus is up and running, they moved it over there along with Girl Meets World, and we started watching Girl Meets World from the beginning. We just finished season 2 earlier. And I got her to admit, because last night we started watching it, I got her to admit, she's like, yeah, it's a good show. And I'm like, I know it's a good show. I knew you had to get into this.
Didn't need her approval on it. It's just a good show.
Well, but I wanted her to agree is the thing. We're just finally getting to the parts where it's like kind of getting a little emotional. And she's like, why? Why would you do this to me? And I'm like, it's fine. Just
it's just the way the show is.
Like you just got through season 2?
Yeah, we just finished season 2.
Like, what's up with it?
Keep the tissue on standby.
Tanner, I know. I watched it before you did. I'm older than you.
Yeah.
I watched it in real time.
Same. Right,
favorite Boy Meets World episode?
The one with Vader.
What?
No, we just saw that. Actually, there's several of them with Vader. Vader is Frankie Stakino's dad.
That's the only episode I remember.
Oh man, you're gonna make me pick one. I don't know that I can pick one, honestly.
I can't pick one.
The one where Mr. Feeny gives an inspirational speech that touches them.
That really only happens toward the end to all of them, anyway. Up to then, he kind of picks individual ones at a time.
Hmm.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. If you're gonna make me pick something, it's that last speech.
Dream, do good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Dream, try, do good. See, Tanner, I've been watching the show for a long time.
Yeah, so, my best friend, she is a huge Boy Meets World fan, and she's a teacher. She starts the year with that quote, and she ends the year with that quote on her chalkboard or dry erase board, whatever she has at that time. And her seniors this past year, I wanted to do something real nice for her. And apparently, Bill Daniels is on Cameo. So, yes. I helped the kids out, and I went and paid for it, and we got Bill Daniels to send her a personal message from the seniors. So that was great watching her break down crying in the middle of the classroom.
That's awesome.
I think a better question, Hunter, is what's your favorite episode of Married with Children?
Well, I want to give my favorite episode of Boy
Meets
World first.
That's going to also be tough. God. Stop making me pick, man.
Habib.
Habib is pretty good. Habib is a good one. I also like, and I don't remember all the details, but there's one where he and Jefferson are trying to fix things around the house throughout the whole episode, and they occasionally throw this dummy of Al like off the roof, and you see him fall outside the back door, the glass door, and that always cracks me up. That and any time that he's pulling the Dodge in, it goes no brakes,
or the one with the peeping Tom. You know what you got to do, cowboy.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You know what I always liked, but it was the dumbest episode, is the one with the aliens.
Yeah, I was just about to mention
socks
that one.
To power their ships.
Do you want the redhead for your intergalactic zoo?
Oh,
so back to the question I asked.
Don't
Hunter.
Ever show that show to anyone that's never seen it. If you
don't
if you
bring
find
anyone
yourself,
you love to the Married with Children.
If you find yourself dating a girl under the age of 25, don't tell her about Married with Children. She will not enjoy it. Tanner, go ahead.
Anyway, back to my question to Hunter a second ago. I want to give my answer, and I can remember it so well because I go back and watch it all the time, but the name of the episode is And Then There Was Sean.
You're talking about the horror one.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, don't get me wrong. That's a good one, but to me, it exists outside the... I mean, I know it's part of the, like, it's not non-canon or anything, but I'm just trying to think of, like, just a typical episode. That one's too far flung for me to pick as my favorite.
I pick it as my favorite because it's fun, it's horror-themed, it's hilarious, and Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Yeah. Tanner, hit it.
I already did.
Like, 5 times for Jennifer Love Hewitt. If you want a good horror episode of a TV show, and I hate to say it with all the things that's happened since then, but Roseanne had some of the best Halloween-themed episodes. They were always fun. Always fun. You know what? We can't talk about this forever. It's 1 hour and 10 minutes.
Yes.
And it's also almost 11 oh fuck, because Shannon forgot to take the keys to Lindsay and had to go get them. So the good news is we got Lindsay on the show.
Shannon, so, I was just reminded, for the record,
not
before
that
we
I've
end
talked
this,
much.
That Billy would appreciate this. There is an episode of Boy Meets World, and it is called Uncle Daddy.
God damn it, Uncle Daddy. You magnificent bastard. All right, that's going to do it for us tonight. We're going to get out of here. I want to thank Hunter, Lindsay, Tanner, and Maria for being on the show tonight. I want to recap the week really quick in case you want to go back and listen. On Monday, we had an all-new episode of I Want to Believe with myself, Tanner, and Hunter. It was a fantastic episode. It actually turned out way better than any of us thought it was going to. A lot of great discussion in there about unsolved mysteries. We talked about TikTok for some reason and other things. Really good. Go back and watch it. Hunter, on Tuesday, we had the second episode of Something About Highway B. It's the new Horrors of Perryville series. PZ85
plays. Yes, yeah. The Lonely Nights on Highway B. And we got a new episode coming up this next week. You guys ended this past week's episode preparing to go and have a little chat with someone who you believe might be able to help clear your name. And we'll see if that comes to fruition.
Which, spoiler alert, the when you word it that way... it's also, and spoiler, if you haven't watched the episode, please skip ahead about 30 seconds. But when you mention it that way, it's important to note that we ended the episode by arming ourselves to the teeth to go speak to this person. So we're going to show up at his doorstep with bats with nails in them, almost a chainsaw, hatchets, and Tanner has, I think, a flamethrower.
No. Not unless he's got an aerosol can of Axe and a barbecue lighter in his car.
Oh,
it's
man.
Not his car. It's Maria's car.
It's Maria's car.
Maria, what do you have in your car?
Tanner's car got impounded. Car. You what?
My poor car.
Yeah,
nothing's
no.
happened Lieutenant to Dan's it yet.
Car. Yeah, it's fine right now. It's also a great episode
right
to,
now.
To hear the difference between me and Tanner, as I am the world's greatest detective, and I get information with ease. Meanwhile, Tanner almost gets socked in the mouth because he tries to play it tough. Go back and listen. It's a fantastic episode. On Wednesday, we had Pro Wrestling Unscripted. We talked about something, I'm sure. I honestly don't remember. That's how important that show is to me at this point.
They're not listening, right?
Well, to be fair, I know Asa would disagree with me, but I almost consider that to be Dalton and Asa's show at this point. Like,
so
what
I.
the
I mean,
fuck
you and I
that?
Are just there.
That was the crash buzzer crashing to the floor.
My God, what is happening in there?
Aurora Borealis.
Aurora Borealis.
What did Tanner say? Areolas?
What? I said it. Fuck it. End the show.
PWU at this point is just like, and with them as always is Shannon and Hunter. Like,
right.
we're just there.
I'm only there to shuttle the show forward through topics when Ace is the one that does all the research and Dalton's the one that has the opinion. So Thursday, we had Podzilla After Dark. It was a fun show. We talked about if you're looking to hire a racist contractor and you want a really good one.
You listen, know a guy.
I know a guy. Listen to last night's show. I want to send a special shout out to Mikey McFinnigan, formerly of Roscoe Eat Lisa, for sending me a very funny picture today about that gentleman. That's good shit, pal. We also talked about our favorite non-Disney animated films, and that was a lot of fun. Go listen to that. And then tonight, of course, the train wreck, as it always is, but it's always a fun one. And I thought we had a great discussion about film. That was surprising.
Yes.
So
yes.
That's going to do it for tonight. For myself, for Lindsay, for Tanner, for Hunter, for Maria, for everyone across the nation, thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next Monday for Nerd Up, I think, and we'll do it all again. Hunter, take us out.
Yes. Well, later.